Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
All right, let's get to it. Round 19.
Adam is hungover as fuck.
Recap. I already wanted to call this episode Amateur Hour, but we've already called it that in the past, so I'm going to have to come up with something else. Unfortunately, from the bits of footy I looked at on the weekend, it looked like this is actually pretty good footy, but no one's going to remember that. But we'll get to reasons why. I'm not hungover, just extremely tired from a Bucks weekend. My name's Adam.
Yeah, he's hungover. I'm Jared.
I am not. I went to work today. I'm just very tired. So wake me up.
You don't have a beer already, do you? He's got the beer already. Good on him. Good on him.
Oh, God, what a weekend. Well, actually, no, not a full weekend, just the end of the weekend. People are already forgetting that Stephen Crichton had plastic surgery. And he has a new nickname that Fletch came up with, which is actually probably in bad taste, but some actual pretty critical
thinking. You call him Hannibal Lecter?
No, he called him 18 months. So it's another way of saying a year and a half.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wow, well done.
That's better than asking if Charlie Staines' nickname was shit.
Who's?
Charlie Staines.
Oh, yeah, true.
The funny thing about that, if anyone's seen it, Ivan Cleary loses his shit during the whole thing. And Charlie Staines is sitting there and he had no, all the jokes going over his head. It was fucking hilarious.
I could see that. So yeah, there's a lot of controversy to get to from over the weekend. Going into today, which should have been a good news story, out of Manly's turning sour pretty quickly. Obviously, we've got the controversy that overshadowed what was a really entertaining game. And then we've got a player that's probably had too many knocks to the head, making a dumb decision and paying the price for it.
What?
No, that's Proctor.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's just start at footy tipping. So pretty good tipping week for a lot of you. Picking the, Bronx to beat the Eels. And a funny story on that, Ben Taylor, one of our regular listeners, a Bronco supporter, got 7 out of 8. And the game he got wrong was the tip Parramatta. So I just wanted to shout out to Benny, who messaged me today saying if he'd tipped his team, he would have won a full round. But some big movers. So Spencer underscore Blues with a full round and Stuart P67, who I'm pretty sure is my boss. Yeah, that'd be right, Stuart. 8 out of 8. So they got the extra point of 9 as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you got 7 out of 7. There is Ronco's 41, has been, and a whole bunch of us got 6. So
you only got 5.
I got 6.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Not according to the tips you threw out on Thursday night, mate.
According to the tips I put in, I got 6.
You lost Power, lost Manly, got the Roosters, got Raiders, got Pembroke, got Rabbits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, and you got Dogs. You didn't get who'd you change?
I don't know. I'll go back and have a look. I can't remember.
Change someone in there.
For those who listened to the last episode, I said even any footy I watched this weekend, I'm probably not going to remember based on the weekend. And
a bit of a Bucks party. Yeah, you must have changed someone here.
Yeah, but I'll have to go back and have a look. Anyway, so overall score, Rocking Horse Road still on 122 after a round of 6. Reggie Sidesett picks up a spot, so he's on 120 with the underscore Irk on 120. Myself on 119, just treading water. But Spencer Blues jumps up quite a bit, up into outright fifth position on 118 before there's another small drop off to 116. So well done there. It's going to be tied all the way through to the end, I reckon. In the street comp, let's have a look. Timbo 21 still has the longest active streak at 12. Would you look at that? I think that's why I got 6 out of 8. I'm just having a look there. It says that Cowboys have been given the win on footytips.com.au, if I'm reading this correctly. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Cowboys got the win. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I got that streak there. Yeah, I still have in my head that they lost. But yeah, Timbo 21's got the longest streak there, still on 12. A. Caton Zeriti 7. I've not seen that one before, so welcome. Their streak finished this week because they had Parramatta, so they'll be starting all over again. A reminder that the longest streak of the season is still 15, so three away from that. All righty. Where do we want to start? let's get
into the biggest. So Manly were...
That's the latest one. So I was going to go chronological order.
We always start with the biggest, though. It is the biggest one. So,
In what way?
We'll get there. So Manly were, as a club, made a decision to do a bit of visiting to represent the LGBTQT society. Just have a pride jersey and have a few where their white stripes are on there. I think it's your home jersey, isn't it?
It's actually a really nice
rainbow flag on there.
It's actually a really nice looking jersey. Yeah. I like someone already put a tweet out going, wow, a Seagulls mid-year jersey, that's actually decent. So it's,
I don't particularly care about that part, but I was like, yeah, good on them. I actually did think at the time, I was very surprised there wasn't a pride round in the comp, because they do, beanie for brain cancer, Indigenous round. I'm not saying they're not all worthy courses, because they are, but I was very surprised this day and age there wasn't, is what it is. Seven Manly players, we're not going to name them, because the
names are out there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to name them. Because there's only part of them named. Suppose there's been named seven, supposed, but there's only been three or four actually named.
Been four named and two named that are still contemplating.
Yeah, so...
It's pretty easy to pick out who it is.
And up to seven players are explaining that they were not consulted about this and they are refusing to wear the jerseys due to their religious beliefs. Which is fair enough. You got to respect their religious beliefs. On the other hand, rugby league is a very inclusive game. That's the point of it. You know, there's the famous float at Mardi Gras every year. We always try to bring in everybody. That's the point of the ads. And I do have an issue with them threatening to sit out. I really do, because... we're supposed to engage all walks of life in the game, and by sitting out just because they're wearing a jersey that promotes that kind of stuff, I don't think that's right, and I think they should be fined for it.
I think it should go further than that, but
fine minimum.
Yeah,
and I think this is
so massive. If this is your first episode listening to 6N, I am a Manly supporter, and I was not up to speed with the news, and one of my students came in today saying, "Sir, did you see what Manly did?" I was like, "No, what happened?" They're like, "They're going to be wearing a pride jersey this weekend." And that's one of the girls in my year 12 class is a very talented rugby league player, and she has no love for Manly at all, but she was very excited about this because she understood the importance of it. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then by the time I'd gotten home, which was a few hours later, I'd heard that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I sent a message.
So, I'm hugely... there's a few things. I'm disappointed that it's come out like this. I'm disappointed that the club, if the consultation rumours are true, that players weren't consulted about when the jersey would be revealed, released, when it'd be worn, all that sort of stuff. That's just unprofessionalism from Manly's point of view. I know they're your employees and they're under contract to you as a club, but for something like this, you should read the room and know that there will or could be, sorry, some pushback on it. So all of that should have been dealt in place and dealt in-house. And if there were going to be players uncomfortable about it, you sort that as a club, not have it played out in the media. So we know that NRL media will jump over any negative story over a positive one. Like the one from Jacob Saifidi today that most people didn't see. We'll hopefully get to that later.
There you go. They've got the list of the all seven now.
Yeah. So you can have your beliefs. That's fine. But I don't like the premise behind picking and choosing which ones that you showcase and talk about to the public. Most religions are against gambling in some form. We've got gambling companies all over every jersey, one of the biggest sponsors of the league. Indigenous players used to not be allowed to play, yet everyone supports that. And we have heritage round and we support the heritage of the players that are sitting out, yet they're not going to show the same respect back the other way.
They're all starters.
Yeah, they're all starters and they're all from a similar background, whose backgrounds were very heavily celebrated only a couple of rounds ago. And imagine if players sat out because of that. Imagine if players sat out because of Indigenous round. It's the same look. And you can have your personal beliefs, but this game's a hell of a lot bigger than any player. The game will be here after them, and honestly, we don't need you in the game if you're going to pick and choose when who you're going to showcase your beliefs for, because it's going to hurt a lot more people than it's going to.
Well, see, this stance within the club, the 17 of these players, you know, a lot of them are also they're on the younger side, majority of them. But on the other hand, they're Manly's future.
Yeah.
And if they have this stance and if NRL put in a pride round, like I said, these players are next contracts. They're going to be big contracts and they want the Manly club is going to want to keep these folks around. But in saying that too, Manly's for now on is going to be known as the club, a lot of players who believe in it being inclusive will not go to now.
It's like this is inclusive until it goes against my beliefs.
Yeah, this has ramifications for years betting, to come with this one.
Because money intake.
Another thing is like, you know, this also has financial, as I've said, huge implications. Because last year there was a few clubs teeing up to sign. Oh, who was going to sign Matt Lodge? And then when the media and the supporters found out, they wanted to sign Matt Lodge. I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying that some sponsors said no to signing this bloke because of what he's done in the past. Wonder if a sponsor will just go, look, if your club openly supports anti-inclusivity, I'm not going to sponsor you.
Yeah, if the club only, I think Manly's been on the front foot with,
well, like saying that they're supporting them.
Look, reading Hasler's comments, he's supporting the fact that the players are making their own decision. He hasn't actually ever come out and said he supports that, the actual decision making.
Yeah, they're supporting the decision. Sorry.
Supporting like the players' choice to make their decision is what he said. He's not supporting what their actual decision is, if that makes sense. And that happened only a couple of rounds ago for a different issue. But all of the stuff Jared talked about, I agree with, and that's stuff that Manly needed to consider in-house beforehand. It'll be interesting if it ever gets to a pride round, how many players around different clubs.
It won't.
We'll do that.
It won't now because of this. The NRL would, I believe, because of the background of a lot of players who believe in this kind of stuff. And we're not saying we don't disagree with their beliefs. We're saying, we disagree with their beliefs, but we're not saying we disagree with their right to have those beliefs. But on the other hand, the amount of players come up with those, you know, I don't believe Prybury will be a thing that's going to happen anytime soon. With seven players from the first club trying it, pulled in the pin.
What message does that send to gay athletes coming through the system? Look at the women's league, how there's a higher number of them. What sort of message does that send? The women's comp's already leading the male comp in so many areas, and they're only into their fourth season.
I just can't believe it's happening. I honestly thought this afternoon, because I saw the article, I saw a headline when I was walking out with groceries this afternoon after work, and I literally said to Adam, I sent the article to Adam and Nick, and I went, surely this Daily Telegraph's taking the piss here.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was like an overthought rumour that's come out, but for once they're on point, and it is honestly that war. This is the biggest news for me all year for rugby league. This is massive.
So I don't...
Just the long-term effects this can cause.
It could. Well, it could turn into the biggest. So I think Manly as a club, when all the launch is on, this is from the Manly CEO, Gary Woolman, the Everyone in League jersey, something we've wanted to do for a number of years now. As soon as we got the concept locked in, all parties have contributed to make it what it is and something we're really proud of. The design itself maintains the iconic Manly DNA with the striped design and maroon, but with the subtle inclusion of the rainbow colours, which are a nod to inclusivity for everyone in league. Seagulls have a rich and diverse history in rugby league and in the community. So you don't have to look any further than Ian Roberts, the first openly gay player. Yeah. Was Manly attending this
Put his picture everywhere too.
Yeah, so because of the timeline, the fact that this is released, Manly's going to be playing it this week. My point of view on this one's pretty clear. Instead of the players, they can make their decision known. They're contracted to the club. They're property of Manly Sea Eagles, and if it's in their contract to play games, Manly can enforce that they play the game. Unless it's going to cause a mental issue and they can get that written up by a medical professional, whatever, it'll trump any religious statement. But because it's a professional sport, however, I wouldn't want to go down that way. I never want to force a player to play if they are choosing not to. What I would do would just be stand down those players this week. I don't want them out there wearing a different jersey to the rest of the team, which I don't even think is legal in pro sport. That's part of the thing. Everyone has to be wearing the same uniform. I'd stand them down for the week, dock their pay, bring up seven players from the next grade up who are going to be proud enough to wear the club's jersey. Issue a fine as well for bringing the game into disrepute if they need to. Bring them back the following week. Get them out of the public eye so no one can see them during the celebration. And deal with it in-house like this should have been in the first place.
Yeah, this is...
Will Manly lose the game with these players not in? Probably. Does that really matter? No.
Well, this is bigger than the game right now.
Yeah, it's much bigger. And we said, like, as even Manly said, this all parties have contributed to this for years now. Manly will be here, has been here before them. It'll be here after them. You look at Manly's proud club. They've had players like Steve Menzies, who was everything Manly. Manly have had success after Steve Menzies. They won a grand final 3 years after he retired.
Jeff Toovey.
The club stays there even after legendary players move on, and none of these players are in that category. It's
Stewart brothers, yeah. We're saying that we agree with their choice and their belief have that, because you know that's part of the world. Everyone has their own belief system and all that, which is perfectly acceptable. But we don't agree necessarily with the actual beliefs they have. And they have the right to say we're just not a big fan of this whole situation at all. And I'm very surprised with Pride Month happened and what will happen after that.
Let's move on to a slightly more positive story. We don't have to watch the decline of Kevin Proctor's career in the NRL go any longer.
Shit.
Sorry. He was taking up a position for a younger player at the Titans that should have had it. He thought it'd be a great idea over the weekend while in club uniform during work hours in a stadium where it's illegal to vape, taking a picture of himself vaping in a bathroom and then posting on social media and expecting no outcome or retribution. I don't know. And we're having a group chat about this earlier in the day. Is the vaping thing itself, it's not illegal, obviously. Doing it within a stadium is. You'd get fined for that. It's just fucking stupid, more than anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that brings the game into disrepute, the fact that he's wearing the club uniform brings the club culture. It literally says, I used to be captain of the club and now I don't give a shit. Here's me being a hard ass in the bathroom smoking or vaping.
Yeah.
It's like, kids, look how cool I am.
Yeah, it's...
sick. You just got fired.
Well, one, I just don't understand vaping as is. It's tasty smoke. Two, why would you post it on social media?
Why is a professional athlete putting drugs into their system?
As I said, I don't agree with it, and I don't agree with the players doing it, but, you know, if he wants to do it, that's fine. Pick a lane, pick a place to and when, dude. Like, in your house after, not in the bathroom during a bloody game while wearing a Gold Coast jersey to do it. In saying that too, I have an issue with the hypocrisy of the NRL. And
can I just premise this before Jared does his thing? I agree with what he's going to say. That's not the issue I have with it, and so does...
The issue we have is just pure dumbassery, and why is a professional actually doing it? But on the other hand, you know, you've got players in the NRL, and I'm not going to go names. Everyone knows who they are, have done a lot worse things.
Yep.
And the NRL has kept their... The NRL and their clubs have kept their contract.
Yeah,
and I'm a massive fan of it. Andrew Johns is probably the biggest example of it. While it is a funny story, while Andrew Johns, I think it was like 6 months after, I think Andrew Johns went on the thing, got interviewed by Phil Gould about telling him about his whole career and how the Newcastle Knights and the NRL ARL defended him and protected the fact that they all knew about this, what he was doing. 6 months later, a little-known player in the NRL named Ian Lacey, who played for the Brisbane Broncos, got done for drink driving, and no one's heard from him since. So, while perfectly said, if he was Kevin Proctor like he was 5 years ago, where he was playing for Melbourne and he was playing for New Zealand and he was one of the top athletes in the NRL, top second rowers, he wouldn't be fired right now. He'd slap a copper slap on the wrist, and they'd be walking away. And the pure hypocrisy of a player who's a marketable quality and a player who isn't or was just horrendous. And I think it's more of an underlying problem in the NRL to face than a guy vaping in the bathrooms, to be fair. Like, it's a massive problem.
Like, yeah, it's obvious that Kevin Proctor's has a lack of intelligence and lack of decision-making prowess. He's also not the talent he used to be, and it's no loss to the Titans cutting him. They'd have to pay out his contract. From my understanding, if a player does something that impacts the image of the club, they can have their contract terminated with no payout from the club, as it should be. I think what is different about this one, outside of the fact that it's not a high profile or not a impact player at this stage of his career, the Andrew Johns stuff was all off the field, away from the spotlight. Some of it was in England, out clubbing, that sort of stuff.
That's where he got caught.
Yeah, that's where he got caught. But that would be a lot different to him snorting lines of cocaine off the members bar at Newcastle Stadium halftime during a game. The circumstances in this one matter. I think the fact that he's literally under employment at the time in his workplace, vaping in a bathroom. Like, if that happened to me, if I chose to vape within my workplace in the bathroom, posted on social media, I'd expect to get fired if I got caught. I'd probably get put into counselling or something afterwards for my decision making, but the impact that would have on state education would be massive.
It's
just so stupid.
But if you're one of the really elite, talented teachers, nothing would happen.
Teacher, yes, it would. I hope it would.
It's just like there's so much wrong with.
I wish this would be a precedent, but it won't be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, you know, Kevin Proctor, there's so much wrong with what he did. Gold Coast are probably right, but, you know, in 2 years' time when, I don't know, if Tino gets caught doing the same thing at Gold Coast.
I'll put it this way, and I hope this doesn't trigger anybody with regards to domestic violence, what I'm about to say. So if this is a trigger for you, maybe turn it down for a few seconds. Can you imagine if Matt Lodge did what he did in New York in the hotel room, if he did that now on site at the Roosters in Roosters uniform and decked a chick in the back room of the stadium?
No. Yeah, well, that was extreme. But
did, but put it in a workplace work uniform.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. It's just no one agrees with Kevin Proctor.
And neither of us agree with Matt Lodge being inserted into the NRL.
No. And no one agrees with Kevin Proctor. No one agrees. I'm pretty sure everyone agrees with him getting fired. But what the underlying issue, as I said, is the pure, unadulterated hypocrisy that runs in this sport. It's just legitimately frightening that they think this is a worthwhile reason to fire someone when someone like Matt Lodge is running around in a row. And that's the only example. Him and John's the only, because there's a million other examples we can use. We're not just going to bring them up and go, you know, bring them through the dirt, because, you know, but hard and fast of it is that this is more of a concern for me than what we're next about to talk about the Tigers game. Yeah.
And for those who are trying to justify what we're saying, everyone's young and makes mistakes. Not everyone's a pro athlete, so shut the hell up, eh?
Well, I also
more education around this than anybody. They know what's on the line. Well, and even then, if you're young and make the mistake in today's world with the information that's out there, I'm sorry, but you've been led.
Oh, I Kevin Proctor can vape all he want. I couldn't care less.
I just don't want to hear about it, see it.
Well, and the thing is, he's saying he's over 30.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't agreeing. I'm just saying there's still people who are saying that for any of the.
Yeah, he's over 30 and he did it. He's been in the spotlight for what, like 10, 12 years now? Like, it's just.
Okay.
For someone like, I don't know, who's just starting out. Reece Walsh, if he did over there, whatever, but he wouldn't get fired.
All right. So they're two of the controversies from the weekend. Now the third one.
We're going to need more time.
Oh, God. To me, like, it doesn't need that much time, but I think Jared will want more time. What do you reckon? We got 5 minutes, so we have a break.
I think we might have to stop here, buddy, and start again.
Oh, God. All right. What we'll do here then instead is go through injuries and we'll do player signings here. So Kevin Proctor's been released. So the Bulldogs have re-signed Raymond Fatala-Mariner for a further 3 years, probably the best sign they've done the last couple re-signing. Years, to be honest. Keeping him at Belmore until at least the end of the 2025 season. He's coming back from injury and he's been hitting the ground running. Well, this didn't really work out. This is Ollie Crowe on this one. Fiji captain Kevin Agama will leave Sydney Roosters and remain in England after the World Cup to join Huddersfield Giants.
You were pumping him up at the start of the year.
Well, it's, yeah. So he's going
to
be with.
They wouldn't sign him unless they wanted to put him on the wing.
I was just saying he wouldn't sign unless he was going to play. But yeah, that was his call, I guess. So he'll be with the Roosters for the rest of this year, but then he'll stay in England. Roosters have released Lachlan Lamb to play for Lee over in England under his father Adrian, who's a coach there. He's been pretty, he was in damn good form for PNG, had a really good test match. Let's have a look here. He was born in Sydney. He was born in Sydney, but lived much of his early life in England when his father was playing for Wigan. And we know that, yeah, Milford signed with the Dolphins for 2023. Let's have a look. Matt Duffy's been granted immediate release to take an opportunity with Warrington. So he's no longer a Bulldogs player. Duffy will be joined at Warrington by Josh Maguire, who's confirmed he'll leave the Dragons and join the Wolves on a two-year deal. And that's all the latest signings. For the NRLW, Eels finalised their squad. So Samaima Tafua has joined on for another season at Parramatta. Tafua and Tiana Panatani have been named co-captains for the Parramatta Eels. They've also added young guns Lasana Lutu, Cassie Tui, Hoiki, Najada, George, Zali Fay, and Louisa Yarinuma. And Newcastle's recruitment drivers continue with Australian Rugby Sevens representative Jacob Whitfield, who's an absolute ripper of a player, joining Queensland Under 19 Edge Mackenzie Wheel. That obviously joins Millie Boyle, Yasmin Clydeser, Hannah Southall, Tamika Upton, and Kiana Takarangi. So they are going to be a force in their second season.
Yeah, we're going to win something.
There we go. Judiciary and injuries from the weekend. So Cody Ramsey has received good news on his injured knee, with scan results indicating he'll only miss two rounds of the Telstra Premiership. It was a very awkward-looking tackle. He went down in one of the few parts of that game, I do remember. Jaden Sullivan will be back on the field in 2 to 3 weeks after he injured his AC joint playing in reserve grade. I wonder if that would have happened if it was in A grade. Who knows? Caelan Ponga conceded that his immediate playing future is in doubt after he suffered his third concussion of the season. If you remember last week, Alex Twell from the Tigers ruled out for the season due to concussions and opinions from medical professionals in the field. Knights could also be without back row Lachlan Fitzgibbon after he suffered a likely recurrence of a previous shoulder injury.
Yeah, which we're in trouble.
Coach Adam Bryan said is not looking good either. We mentioned Stephen Crichton earlier. He required plastic surgery in his ear and will be missing at least a week, if not two. Ben Trbojevic failed a HIA, so he'll have to pass protocols through the week. And Sean Kepi picked up a shoulder complaint. Josh Alloway went down late in the match, which is becoming a consistent theme for him. Could be a corked patella. So for those who don't know what a patella is, that is your kneecap. Tane Milne suffered a dislocated finger in round 19. Hopefully we'll be right to play in round 20. Judiciary report. So Corey Waddell was referred directly to the judiciary after being charged over eye gouging in the match against the Titans. It looked pretty clear. So we'll see what comes out of that. Dale Finucane did get professional advice before submitting his plea. He will plead non guilty to a grade 3 dangerous contact charge, and we'll talk about that when we get to the games themselves. Ken Mamala was charged with a shoulder charge on Tom Dearden, faces a fine. Viliami Kiko has already accepted a fine for a shoulder charge, and Nelson Asafa Solomon took early guilty pleas on two incidences. A $3,000 fine he will be charged. Matt Lodge entered an early guilty plea and was charged $1,800 for a high tackle. All righty. We'll be back and talk about the Cowboys, Tigers, and then the other games from the round. All right, when we say we're actually going to have a break, we actually kind of do it. So a couple of minutes and either just chat shit or grab beer or toilet. This time I actually just sat here. So we are into the second half. And I should have mentioned earlier that footy tipping comp we do on footytips.com.au is sponsored by Hop Nation, and I have cracked one of their newies that we had at the Bucks over the weekend. Thanks for supplying the beers as always, Benny Taylor. This one's called Build a Bridge. It's a New Zealand IPA, and it is damn tasty. 6.2%, 2.1 drinks. It's in a bigger can, and it's just beautiful. It's making me feel good after a long Monday. All righty. So, Cowboys-Tigers game was a bloody brilliant game. That's going to be remembered for the stupidest thing ever seen. An official call made even worse by the NRL supporting not the – what's actually – they supported some aspects of it, but their wording of the ruling and why you could challenge it was incredibly complicated for what should be a simple game. And it just made the whole thing look so stupid. My wife is a Cowboys supporter. She went, "We just won the game because of a bogus call and after the siren, and somehow we won." And she went, "It should actually be karma that Valentine Holmes misses this kick." And then he slotted it and the Cowboys won. The club that deserved the 2 points got nothing. Who knows how much money changed on that outcome. Who knows the impact this could have for the rest of the season for the Tigers, the difference between a wooden spoon or not, the difference of the Cowboys' top four position or in a home final or not. And this had nothing to do with the players on the field. This had nothing to do with the referees on the field who did everything by the book as they should have. It was the one dude up there with as much time in the world to make a decision because the game was finished and he made the wrong one. Nothing will happen that we'll hear about. It's not like he decided the entire outcome of the game based on a call that was wrong.
Yeah.
And this was one of the few times where I've got the upper hand on Jared in that the players and the rest had already decided the outcome of this game on field and it was the influence of someone else that changed the whole thing.
No, I agree. It's I agree in the fact that he made it wrong. He made the wrong decision, and it influenced the end of the game. And
it changed the end of the game.
It was wrong. It was 100% wrong. And I have said it all along that I don't agree with the fact that Bunker's got more time. I defend the referee on the field.
Can we just do a shout out to the ref on the field? I just want to get his name right. Because the fact that I don't know his name means he usually makes pretty good decisions. I can't remember his name, sorry.
I've never liked the Bunker. I fucking detest the challenge.
Chris Butler. He actually handled the situation really well.
The captain's challenge is a massive smear in the game. It's fucking horrendous. And the fact that no one's complaining about the fact that they used the captain challenges.
I know. A lot of people are complaining about that. That's one. I think that's
No. They're complaining of the use. They're not complaining that the Cowboys used it. You know, they had more than right to not use it at the time.
The same thing happened at the end of the State of Origin game in 2020 when the game was over.
It's horrendous. What I don't agree with is calling Ashley Klein a cheat. Made a decision at the time. What I don't agree with is what Adam said about he's not going to get held responsible for this thing. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean he doesn't get held responsible.
And that's an issue.
Same with Nathan Cleary putting that kick in at the end of Origin that Ben Hart caught. Just because we didn't see him get in trouble for that doesn't mean he didn't take responsibility for it. But you can't
bring that up as a comparison.
No, you can. You can't bring it up in a comparison to the fact that Nathan Cleary was tired and it was a mistake on the field. What you can bring it up in a comparison is going back to what you said. You said Nathan Ashley Klein will not be held responsible for what we can see.
Yeah, and that's the issue.
For making the wrong decision. Public. But Nathan Cleary was not either.
It didn't cost him a game.
See, and this is the problem. For some reason, everyone reckons players get taken responsibility.
I'm not doing this argument, Jared. Well, this is completely. You can use.
You don't have the upper hand on it. That's why.
Yes, I can. You can use that if you're talking about an on-field referee in the heat of the moment, not one that's completely separate. With his, he could have taken 3 hours to make his decision. There's no time.
What are you going to get out of it?
What? The fact that I know going into next round that a non-capable official in the Bangkok won't be in there.
Because, he makes 4,000 right decisions and he makes one that you don't agree with and it should be fucking
hacked. Well, actually, if you watch that game, he made 3 bad calls in the bunker, but this one changed the outcome of the game.
But
based on his misinterpretation of a rule.
It's
easy. The NRL needs, like, Annesley came out and said he made the wrong call. He screwed up. What's going to happen is he'll get a tap on the wrist saying, please don't affect the outcome of the game again based on your poor decision-making, and he'll be in the booth again next week.
Do you actually think they don't get held to task for wrong decisions?
Not as hard as they should be, because the Graham same refs are in the league this year that are in there last year.
And do you know what you're creating there right now by doing what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're creating less skilled referees coming in. That's what you're trying to do right now.
No, I just want the ones because that aren't up there to stand not there anymore.
Yeah, if you can name another guy to come into bunker who's better than Ash Klein, and then another guy in the bunker who is better than that bloke who's going to come in when old mate makes
I could.
Who?
You.
No. No way.
You got no opinion of yourself.
No, I couldn't do that. No way. I don't know the rules well enough. Point is
that Ash Klein.
What? The point is that there's no one better. And the fact is that
weird.
No, it's not, man. There's not.
His boss literally came out and said he made the wrong decision.
Yeah, he did.
Under no pressure.
And by continually ripping on the referees. Who wants to be a referee?
Not many people.
Yeah, because what?
I doubt it's great pay.
Well, they have to be just as fit as the NRL players.
Wrong.
They get no credit for what they do. At the end of grand finals, you get selected from grand final, the highest game in the NRL, you get booed when you get your medals by 80,000 people, no matter what you do in the game.
Part of being a politician.
There's no, you know, the mental health of these guys. We had a good chat with Gavin back in the year. There was no mental, 5 years ago, there was no mental health support for these blokes. And
we don't know. We wouldn't see that.
Well, why do you need to see it? I just don't understand what you're going to get out of parading Ashley Klein in front of the media.
I know that.
Million questions over the one decision he made. What are you going to get out of that?
I can guarantee that club coaches, if they see that he's going to be on there, they'll plan differently and make sure they're not, well, try to put their teams not in that situation to have to rely on it. It's going to affect, well, in this game, it affected a lot of money outcomes and betting outcomes, and it affected two clubs and their, not their premiership chances of the Tigers, but their finishing position. That's a pretty big impact on one single game.
Yeah, but what is Ashley Klein going to get? What are you going to get out of it? What are you going to get out of parading that Ashley Klein in? What?
Just confidence that he's not there. Confidence that there'll be an outcome but that won't know, be he, decided by his poor decision-making.
So, but not by...
And if I've got a player, coming out and doing a press player who I feel will cost me a game based on his poor decision-making, I wouldn't be picking them.
Then why does Morgan Harper get picked every week?
I'm not coach.
You're not coach of the referees either, and that's the same argument.
No. It's another
you made, like, one made one decision that was wrong. Morgan Harper makes about 20 a game.
Yeah, and same thing, and I voiced my opinion for him not getting selected many times.
Yeah, but
the decision-makers on the field get paid the most because they make the decisions under pressure and more often than not get it right. Same thing in refereeing. You're literally paid to make decisions. If you're making them incorrect with as much time as you have, and Graham Annesley actually fucked himself or shot himself in the foot by saying, we can pride ourselves compared to world sport with so many camera angles and the high tech and all this sort of stuff. Like, that's great. And they still got it wrong.
Yeah,
okay. It doesn't help your referee. That makes them look even worse.
All right, so
he's giving them less excuse.
So would you be happy if Klein got dropped?
For the rest of the season? Yes.
For one bad decision?
A bad decision is missing a knock-on. This is a catastrophic decision. It literally changed the outcome of a game. After a game had finished.
There's not many referees better than Klein.
Oh, I could name probably six. Actually, no, I couldn't. You know what? Right. I don't know their names because they're not constantly fucking up.
Another thing about it is, man, and this is if Cherry Evans had a bad 4 weeks,
yeah,
and made some severe fuck ups,
yeah,
you would not be calling for his head. The thing is, do you know why? Because he has the points in the bank not to drop him because he can come good. You know what? Klein deserves that respect as well.
I think he's been given more than enough chances.
But he's made more than enough good games as well because we're not talking about him every weekend.
We really are. He's the only one whose name gets... Oh, Jared Sutton as well, actually. The other difference is, Jared, you in a club, most clubs have, what, three options at halfback, maybe, if they've got a decent feeder system.
Yeah,
referees have, what, 15, 16, 17...
No, they don't.
Any touchy? That's out there?
No, they don't.
They really do.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't have
three referees out there that are all in the same standing that can take that spot next week.
See, and this is another thing people don't understand about being a ref, is you go through the grades as the referee, and then the rules completely change in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be a fucking top gun Q cut referee. Doesn't mean you're going to be a good NRL referee.
No. But someone with this much experience should be better than they are.
So could Cherry, but he makes mistakes.
He does.
You're not going to call him for his head.
No, I'll call him. You'd be very disappointed
if he had a significant fuck up and he got dropped. You wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't be calling for his head. You'd be still saying he should represent Australia at halfback.
I can't believe you're trying to cover up for them. You're like the only one in Australia. There was a referee last year in the ice hockey that got caught on microphone saying, I gave that penalty as an equal up to make sure the penalties were even off each team. He got sacked for the rest of the season.
But that's same thing could happen here. About what I'm saying. At the start of this conversation, I actually said I didn't agree with you. I said he fucked up.
Yeah, but you're saying he should get away with
I'm saying you don't know the punishment he's going to cop. Just because and that's you the don't issue. Know it,
we should know.
It doesn't happen.
It should be transparent.
No, you should. Otherwise, it's there's no to do confidence.
The sponsors of the game should be ringing up Annesley going, is this guy going to be there? Because it's making the game look poor. Same as what they're doing with Proctor. Same as what they should be doing for Manly.
You know what the funny thing about that is? They don't give a shit.
Who don't?
They're happy about this happening.
No, they're not.
You know why? You know why they're happening? Because people are talking about it. It means more money goes into the game than people are talking about.
You know who's not happy about this? Betting agencies who run our game.
They don't run our game. The media run our game. Betting agencies are a fun add-on. They don't run our game. They got nothing to do with the running of the game. The media runs it. You know, News Limited owns Rugby League. So it's nothing to do with the betting agencies. Bloody hell.
It really is. They would have
no, lost. Not. And you know what? Oh, my God, that would have ended. Jared. You know what? That would have ended really good for the betting agencies because if Tigers won, there would have been more payouts to do.
No, because less people would have been betting on them. You don't understand betting. What? They never want the favourites to win.
Point. Yes, they do.
No, because more money is put on them.
Point is
West Tigers were the better team in this comp in this game and should have won.
Yeah, I've never denied that throughout this whole process. I just don't see the point of sacking a perfectly good referee for a bad mistake. Whereas no one sacks the players for doing just as big fuck-ups.
I think they do, considering how many players clubs go through in a season that you never see of again because they're not up to standard.
Yeah, but the big players don't. And Ashley Klein is the elite of the referees.
A lot more... Oh, I'm not even going. If it was a bad decision, fine. This is as close to amateur hour, unprofessionalism, and pathetic excuse.
And see, the thing about it is that One,
Brent Naden had a great return from injury and scored a double. Valentine Holmes and Jeremiah Nanai were brilliant again, as was Tom Dearden. Cowboys were complacent in the first half and let Tigers get away to a lead. They were good enough to get themselves back within and then let in two late tries to a team that's been struggling to score points. Cowboys should have won this game running away, ended up losing it, and were saved by incompetence from the officials.
Why aren't you having a go at Kyle Felt?
I already said Cowboys didn't deserve to win because they didn't play well enough.
Yeah, but why?
Oh my God, I'm not even arguing. You're missing the whole thing.
you're putting a negative strain on the game just because old mate made a mistake.
No, he didn't.
You're trying to make the game harder in the long run. Trying to make it harder for him.
Guys, reply back. Jared knows he's in the minority here and he's trying to... Oh, I don't know. Anyway, his little darlings, the Eels, went down to the Broncos, 14-36.
Oh, mate. I couldn't believe this.
But they are little babies. Eels started the game well enough. They actually started a lot better than the Broncos did. And this was the only one of two games that I watched, the one that we just talked about in this one, because the Bucks party was in the middle of it. Oh, and right now, the Bucks party is a better product than the NRL, but we'll keep getting to that.
Oh, crap. Hold up. I just saw a headline. Kenty's on my side.
And that says all you need to know, guys.
Damn it.
There you go.
Not for the same reason.
Every time I say journalist with him, I just put quotations up because I swear he doesn't actually do anything. He just comes up with headlines and pretends he knows what he's talking about and then backtracks it on like 3 days later. But anyway.
Yeah, because he's always wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. If he's agreeing with Jared, everyone's on my side. Broncos 36 over the Eels 14. After a strong start to the Eels and Mike Acevo's 8th try. In 10 games since returning and some unbelievable strike rate at Bankwest Stadium. Once the Broncos kicked into gear, they just didn't let the game up. So they were 24-10 up at halftime, won the second half 12-4. There was a Simbi and a Well Pinnacini in the first half when Broncos were probably playing their best period of footy in the game, slowing down the play the ball after a break by... I can't remember. I lost track. Adam Reynolds had another brilliant game of control. He completely outplayed Mitch Moses, who I do feel for him a little bit, may have had some other things on his mind based on the threats and police escort he had the previous week. I can forgive him slightly for not having his head in the game in saying that. That's part of being a pro sports person is to be able to put distractions to the side while you're on the field as best you can. Broncos didn't really give them the opportunity to do so anyway. They were outplayed in most positions on the field. Payne Huss, in his return, was fantastic and showed why he's the best prop in the game with not just his work rate, but his footwork, agility and speed in the try that he scored. I'd say there may be less than 5 props in the game that could do that, let alone do it consistently. I should have said that actually for the Cowboys game. Tamalolo to me showed still why he's the best forward in the world with the performance he put on. His footwork and speed, agility, offloading ability of a guy of his size is incredible. Who else was good in this game? Corey Oates had another double, showed why he's one of the best finishers we've seen, albeit after a lean couple of years. And... yeah, shut the Eels up at home, which not a lot of clubs have been able to do. Remembering the Eels are the only club this year to beat Melbourne when they, before the losing streak and Penrith.
Yeah, imagine being a Para supporter, honestly. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's like being an Arsenal supporter. You can beat big clubs and lose games where you should win.
It's just, it's physically painful. Well, like, but... everything was built up for Para to put a massive performance on them this weekend. You know, home ground, coming up against a team, you know, pushing for a top 4 spot. really solidify themselves up there. Few doubters during the week to go, you know, they can't do it and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just they get let's get rolled next week. Watch the game at around. It's going to be Parramatta versus Penrith. Keep an eye out for that because Parramatta are going to play the best game out of the skin. Oh,
I think this game further solidified a point I brought up like way earlier in the season in that Eels don't have any winners in their team. They have no one who's won a grand final that I can think of at the moment. They have no one who's won games in September. And when they beat Penrith and Melbourne earlier this year, they weren't expected to win. They were the outsiders. They were away from home. Oh, in Melbourne they were. I got a Penrith game. You can look at that. I can't remember if they're home or away. Or where are they playing next week?
I'll check. Just keep going.
Yeah. They were the underdogs in that game. Weren't expected to do much and came out and surprised the opposition. This game, they were the favourites. They're at home.
They're playing at home.
Okay, so they beat Penrith away. They beat Melbourne away. They lose in this fashion, the Broncos, because Adam Reynolds put on a clinic because he's a winner. Kurt Capewell got across for a try and had a really decent performance. Broncos went out and bought premiership winners. When Felice Kaufusi was up for signing, when the Bromwich brothers were up for signing, Cam Munster's contract's still up in the air. We haven't heard a boo out of Parramatta. They're the players they should be targeting. Dare say it, like Crichton comes off contract at any point, they should be targeting him. They need to be getting players there who know what to do in this time, like the latter part of the season, because otherwise they're just going to keep finishing where they are.
A few people, halfway through last year, I said Brad needs to move on. And not many people exactly agreed. A few people jumping on that. It's been, all kind of fight. Adam said no leaders, but no winners, but there's no leaders in the team either. Like, there's no overly people you just like that hard player is just going to pull you out of the shit when it comes out of it. And as I said last year, if you put a Kalis and a Hindmarsh in that team, or either or, they would have. I put them as winning in premiership. The team they have,
maybe not with Hindmarsh.
Either way, like he's one of the greatest players.
I see your point,
but yeah, so
literally think of Cooper Cronk in the grand final against the Roosters, where he touched the ball like twice.
Yeah, but he just been in that team. Yeah,
that's what I mean. That game. Apart from literally communicate, direct, keep them calm, help them execute.
You know what they should do? Just buy Owen Langer.
They should be throwing money at Ben Hunt. Even though he hasn't won the premiership, he's been in and around the Origin teams that have won with both elite players and two of the most underrated. Or not underrated, but unrated.
What annoys me is they're one of the teams, the few teams in a row, who didn't go after Finucane.
Yeah.
He could have done so. And look what he's done at Cronulla. Like that, a lot of that can be attributed to him coming to the team. There's so many players out there that could play that part for him that it's not going for.
I honestly think Brad Arthur's got this team as far as they can with the players he's got, and he's literally limited on, I need players that can win me a game.
Yeah, next year they're losing Marnie, Papali, Niokore.
That's fine. Bring in players that have...
Well, that's the point. There's some fucking quality players that the team would be letting go.
They're bringing in
Hodgson, which... You know, he does have that leadership quality, but he's coming off his second or third ACL too. So, see how that goes for it. Look, I think the only chance they have is if they make the top four and they win the first game. Because if they lose the first game at the top four, I don't think they can play four strong games in a row. I just don't think they have it in them.
It's going to call the ultimate loser franchise till they change it.
Yeah. All right, next game. Dragons 20, Ben Hunt is shit all over. Manly, six.
I should have picked Dragons. That's seven in a row that Seagulls have lost away to the Dragons.
Yeah, it's essentially, yeah, Ben Hunt scored the first two tries and he just ran. You guys, for some reason, it wasn't on the tip sheet for St. George. Don't let Ben Hunt ran.
Dare I say there was no pride in the Manly jersey?
Oh, Jesus. It'd be funny next week. And the fact that your only try scorer with the quality you have in your back line with Josh Alawai is not flash.
Yeah, the weather wasn't conducive to crisp backline play. However, Dragons
done everything better.
Yeah, they did. From what I saw, and I did see probably the first 30 minutes of this game before we left to really kick off the weekend. They were outplaying Manly in all the basic parts of the game, which you have to do in weather like this. And then when you get into the area of the field to score, you do so. So if you remember one of Ben Hunt's tries, he literally used his size to duck under a tackle or two, was down before the line, but then slid over the try line. And was it the prettiest try in the world? No. But
in he used like his that, skills. That's what you got to do.
He used the conditions. And he literally used his experience and his style of game in these conditions is more conducive to a Cherry Evans style of game. He's a bit more of a finesse player. It's harder to do that in these conditions. And Ben Hunt outplayed him in all aspects of the game. The same with Dragons forwards, direct running, hard running. It's what you have to do. Olakau'atu, I believe, struggled, and he's one of the key cogs for Manly. He's one of their biggest go forward options. It was a disappointing effort by Manly, but I just think Dragons performed better in the conditions and were good money for the win. I really can't say more than that.
Next game.
I was going to say, the only thing better on the field than Ben Hunt were Manly's jerseys, but...
they were actually really cool.
I know.
Next game, 42 Roosters, 12 Newcastle Knights. Tedesco's just... Stop that, dude. It's freakish. He just, like... He does that against Newcastle, but then he'll turn around and do it against, Penrith or Melbourne or someone else. Like, he's just... Is this an animal? What's his ice bath like?
We're at Top Golf for this, and in between beers and hitting, we kept looking up at the screen because the footy was on. I thought they just kept showing the same replay.
Yeah.
But it was the Roosters scoring so consistently through the game.
For Newcastle, obviously, a lot has been said about the press conference. But, and then, as I keep saying, the old team of champions, champion team statement, which suits Newcastle down at the team, they've got some good players. But they're just a team.
How about we say team of goods, not team of champions?
They got either way, the point still stands. They've got some good players there, but they're just a team. They're not a unit kind of thing. It annoys me. Ponga getting injured. Anyone who's having a go at Ponga, it wasn't the clip across the head. It was the hitting his head on the ground. Come on, dude. Stop complaining about the poor bastard. I
complained about Tedesco for only scoring one try, not two, and that wrecked my bet for the weekend because he's only got two try assists.
I have a concern that no one seems to be bringing up for Newcastle. Like, you can read a bit, but my biggest issue with Newcastle right now is the local juniors they've got coming through aren't progressing. Like, You Safidi twins, they debuted during that really shit time. But the guys who've debuted the last 2 years, Phoenix Crossland, he was the junior superstar for the Hunter region at halfback for years and years coming through. And when he goes to half, I know we're done because he's just not up to NRL standard. And there's something going on to not let him be NRL standard. Brabham Bess is completely stagnated. Lots of Fitzgibbon is completely stagnated.
Yep, he really is. And Mitch Barnett.
Mitch Barnett's a Canberra junior.
Yeah, he's been at, he's been at Newcastle long enough now.
No, well, I was just specifically like, my point is that, you know, Manly's got players like Josh Schuster coming through. Roosters just, you know, the Butcher brothers, Egan Butcher actually destroyed Newcastle on the weekend. You know, let's talk about the top teams, their juniors, they're getting value for money out of it. But what they're doing, they're taking the next step after their debut for NRL and becoming better players.
You know what? You actually are actually outlining a good point. Well done.
Well, it was really concerning because I specifically just, I knew we were going to get a loss, but I was specifically watching Phoenix Crossland during this entire game. And while the last 10 minutes when they scored two tries, he looked all right, but he had to come on the field in the first 10 when Ponga got fucked up. And Milford had to go to fullback. By the way, we
all Roosters are up 42-0 by that stage, weren't they?
Yeah. In the first, we all thought Milford looked
pretty fit.
When
you said he was starting to look good in the last 10 minutes, Roosters are up 42.
Yeah. Like, it was just, and at that point, I'm pretty sure Tedesco went off the field. And they scored two tries. Like, there's no next step up for these blokes. They're not doing it. And that's a severe issue for Newcastle. Like, you can go along with the, you know, the attacks all done, but next man up mentality is such a big thing in rugby league with injuries, origin, representing, but Newcastle just don't have it.
Yeah, and I want to jump on that in that my, yeah, I guess like being a Manly supporter, I've seen that over the last, I was about to say 10 years, but longer than that, since 2007, where the youngsters, and I'm going to, like the Stewart brothers came in from Wollongong, but they were in there quite early. I was used to consistently seeing progression out of juniors coming through. And then with my American sport team, same sort of thing. And yeah, teams that aren't favoured or destined or expected to do well in the finals, in the season, in the championships, in the playoffs, whatever. One of the key things the GMs push and the fans want to see is, yeah, development of the youngsters. Not only because they're obviously the future of the club, but it's crucially important for premiership contending teams to have youngsters on cheap deals who are already doing well in order to be able to manage the salary cap.
Yeah.
And when Penrith won, their salary cap would have been very much within reason. Over the next couple of years, it's going to be much different. Melbourne had the same.
You can go through all the top clubs and you go, there's a young fella in every club that's really like bright star, you know.
Sione Katoa for the Sharks, Renato Mortalo for the Sharks.
Josh Schuster for Manly. There's a few young players coming through, the Bulldogs, Keenan Pasalia, Xavier Wilson, Dane Mariner, Blake Moser.
We can't Melbourne's really say that yet because we haven't seen the development at this level.
But my point is, there's a young player that everyone's like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be good. Other than Oren Keeley, he's only like 16 or 17 or something for Newcastle.
Hmm.
There is no one that we're going, you know what, we've got a young, you know, Adam always says that I don't care about this bloke playing the NRL because in 2 years' time, KO Weeks is going to come in, or there's a young centre you're talking about, or old Chum Carr or whatever his name is.
Gordon Ken Chum Tong.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a really strong player in the next couple of years. I love that name, by the way.
Mm.
There's no one for Newcastle. When you sit there and look at Newcastle, you're like, who's the guy coming in to push for this spot? Like,
there's no one. Saying that Manly got belted on the weekend in the 20s, but yeah.
It's an irrelevant point because, you know, these players step up, but I...
But you're also saying that because you said that about Phoenix Crossland. You were talking about that. I can talk about KO Weeks and Gordon Ken Chum Tong as much as I want, but if they get to the NRL and stall and collapse, it's the same situation. So
no, but that's my issue with it because Phoenix Crossland was that for Newcastle, and I think he's been around for 3 years. Tex Hoy
was another one, and he's gone.
He's gone. He just hasn't progressed. And look at Josh Schuster progressing every single week. The difference between, I think, Newcastle and, say, Manly is that you guys will progress those young players, and if they're not, they're going to identify early. Phoenix Crossland is not progressing but still getting a million chances. even though you've come close to staying, he's not NRL level anymore.
No.
And he probably has to go spend a couple of years reserve grade and come back. I don't know.
I think one aspect you're missing there is the personnel they put around the players and the situations they put them in.
See, that's
because when Crossland came in, who was going to help him? Oh, he had Pierce there for a season, didn't he?
Pierce, Johns is there.
Yeah, but Johns isn't on the field.
No, but I get that, but he's had enough around him because his whole thing had Mitchell Pierce growing up next to him. Like he debuted Pierce was there. That's all you need because the progression plan was that Mitchell Pierce lines up next to Phoenix Crossland. That was what it was.
But can I say, Alan Lang has been at the Broncos for however long and their halves haven't progressed till Reynolds came in.
No, every team's different, but my point is that Phoenix Crossland's not my only concern.
No, that's true.
You know, Bradman Best is completely stagnated. Lachlan Fitzgibbon was one of the most potentially damaging second roles in the competition just through size and speed. He's probably gone backwards, I would say. All the Metauti brothers gone. We have about four of them. And Chris Randall. Yeah, it's just.
Well, in saying that, I don't think anyone had a high ceiling for him anyway. He's just a good solid.
Yeah, but he is what he is. It's a legitimate concern that I'm more worried about right now than what's happening on the field, because what's happening on the field you can deal with. But on the other hand, we don't have anything going. Like we don't know what's going to happen next year. It's the same shit because it's going to be the same team.
Okay, so due to me not watching anything, and congratulations, Nick, on a Bucks party where everyone survived. We're just going to jump ahead to the other.
Kind of the last one you went to. Ryland broke his leg.
Oh, yeah. That was my brother. Doing that. But, yeah. Anyway. Penrith 20 over the Sharks 10. Now, I only saw this one in segments. And what I want to talk about was the Dal Finucane and Stephen Crichton collision. And the flow-on effect from that. So for those who didn't see, Sharks got off to a really good start and then Penrith kind of weathered that storm, came back towards the end of the first half and then continued on the second half. Luai scoring his customary very late try, last 3 minutes. But anyway, during the game, Dal Finucane, being the player that he is, tried to amp his team up by getting out of the line quickly to put a shot on. And it obviously didn't go according to plan. His head made contact with Stephen Crichton's, and that's the one that ended up pretty much chopping a chunk out of Crichton's ear. He went off obviously for HIA and ended up having to go to get, repair work done on his ear. Now, there was no penalty on the field. And I believe it's one of those shots that looked a hell of a lot more spectacular, more than anything. They were saying he's looking at 3 weeks on the sideline. And the question that I think was a fair question someone put up was for what? What's the actual charge that he was hit with? And someone said careless. I'm like, well, careless what? Because from the replays I've seen, it was head-on-head contact. And it wasn't a headbutt. So I was struggling to see what the actual charge is here. Did you see it a little bit differently at all?
Look, head-on-head's always an accident to me.
Yeah.
Unless you want to, and the closest word to accident in the judiciary.
Careless?
Reckless.
Reckless?
Careless, reckless, I don't know. There's always intent to hit someone hard, but reckless for me means that he's got it wrong. And careless is the lazy swinging arm in the 78th minute that coat hang at someone. Reckless is, yeah, there's no lazy thing in what Dale Finucan does. He's not lazy, so I'd say reckless.
Can I just preface? There is contact with the head from the arm and shoulder, but to me that was secondary from the head collision.
Yeah, look, I get that he had to have plastic surgery, and I am a big believer that everything should be judged on what could happen as opposed to what did happen.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a charge. I just don't know what at this point, and I don't think anyone's going to be overly mad with what he gets unless it's too extreme.
To me, 3 weeks is extreme.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. 1 week or a fine would be appropriate for me.
Because you could see how, like, the players reacted, I guess, after the hit. A couple of the, like, the Penrith Penrith players kind of, like, put their arms up, but that's just a go-to reaction from all players on the field as soon as they hit above the bloody nipples now.
The perfect way to explain it, Matt Lodge and Caden Ponga was careless. This is reckless.
Yeah.
That's the perfect way to explain it. What I don't agree with, did Stephen Crichton have to go off for the rest of the game?
Yeah.
So I think if someone does that and it's a direct result of what is considered foul play, I believe that player should be sitting in for 10 minutes as soon as that HIA is failed. Because
that's the thing. There was no penalty given. It wasn't foul play.
Well, okay. So Matt Lodge for the situation on Pong was considered foul play. Instant penalty on report. I think as soon as he failed his HIA, they should have played with 12 men because the rest of the game, Newcastle would be playing with 15. That's my belief on it, because that player, you know, Newcastle were obviously going to suffer a lot more than Roosters were in that situation. Matt Lodge plays in the only fine. This one, you know, because it was considered foul play and Dale Finucane hit his head, created HIA, I do think that the only way to activate the 80th man is by losing free plays due to HIA play or whatever you want to call it, is a big dream. I think the rules need to be rejigged in this situation, because there's two scenarios here with Stephen Crichton and Caleb Ponga. And while they're both can be considered different actions that caused it, the result's the same, where a team down a player. And the team who caused that issue to be downplayed is an effect.
Yeah, I don't mind that if it's a failed HIA. I'd have to look into think about it a bit more because I'm fucking wrecked. But that's it'll be interesting to see what comes for that. It was a gritty win from Penrith, and we don't usually see gritty wins out of them. So that's a tick in their book. Raiders 26 over the Warriors 14. Rabbitohs 24 over the Storm 12. That's 4 losses in a row for the Storm. Bulldogs 36 over the Titans 26. And we've already mentioned Cowboys 27 over Tigers 26. So at the end of round 19, Penrith have an 8-point gap at the top of the ladder, 36 points going into their match against the Eels. Cowboys on 28, Sharks and Broncos on 26 points apiece. Storm, Rabbits, Eels all on 24. Roosters now up into 8th position with Manly dropping out. Roosters, Seagulls and Raiders all on 20 points. At 529-9. Oh, sorry, and Dragons. Bulldogs, Warriors, Knights, all on 12. So 8 points out of the 8, 4 wins. Titans and Tigers on 8 apiece. That brings us to the end of round 19. We've got 6 rounds to go.
I knew this was going to be a fun episode.
And that's it. I am going to go and sleep. I was in bed by 8 o'clock last night and slept through to 6:30, and I woke up still so tired. So I'm so looking forward to this. We'll be back for a round 20 preview, probably more updates on the Manly situation, as well as I believe it is women in league round. So keep an eye out for that. Talk soon. Bye. Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.